welcome. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. And you know
what else the show is?
Live.
Yeah, that's right.
Live Financial Talk Radio. 504-260-0995. Join us on the show. Let's talk about that pension, that Social Security check, that income. How am I going to generate the income at retirement?
I'm your co-host, James Parker. The financial world is losing its mind, and we just show up to try and make sense of some of it for you. 504-260-0995. You know, after you beat the snot out of cryptocurrencies earlier this week, Gregory, I turn around and the CEO of the NASDAQ blesses cryptocurrencies and says he sees a big future for some of those cryptos out there. So I'll have to run that one by you. We're going to take a look at the numbers as well and see where is this market going. It's got to pop up or down soon. It's got to make a decision.
You know, you always have those people that are right, and you always have those people that are wrong. The market's on a bull tear, and the market's going to hell. You have bulls, and you have bears. You have cryptos, and then you have traditionalists.
Right, tangible. I think tangible.
Let's see. Well, let's compare. Okay, you have cryptos, and then you have gold bugs. What has and neither has intrinsic value, but I'll tell you this: there's more value real value attached to gold than it is crypto. Let's see. Do I need some cryptos to make the computer system work in my car? No, but we know precious metals are used. Rare earth metals are used to make computers work, phones work, all this stuff. Let's see. Gosh, what about a crypto makes my phone or car work?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Once again, rest my case. They're worthless.
Well, I saw a startup that's going to try and make a watch out of Bitcoin. See if that works.
Well, hey, I have an actual Bitcoin on hand. I'll sell it to them.
Oh, what a deal.
Yeah.
See, this will work out great for everyone.
What's that thing where, you know, Angie gave us each actual for real Bitcoin. Well, let's take a picture of them tomorrow. You know where yours is?
Mine is in the kitchen bar, two steps up to the left, two shelves up.
Yeah. Mine is sitting on somebody's desk at the office because I showed it around the other day. I was like, oh, I found it in a drawer over there. I pulled open a drawer. And I said, gosh, everybody's going to like seeing this. This is an actual Bitcoin.
And before you think Gregory's weird and start slipping stuff in everyone else's desk, Gregory doesn't have a desk at work. Because that sounds really weird if they don't know that. Oh, I just left my personal belongings in someone's desk. Yeah.
No, it wasn't somebody's desk I left it in. You know, the cat, when you go back into, I used to call it the war room. I don't know if we should do that, but you know, we hold meetings and there's a number of staff members' desks. Work stations are in that area. It's one of our larger rooms. And you know, that cabinet kind of to the right on front when you walk in, yeah, that you pull out that drawer on top. It was in there. Just happened. Like, what's this?
We should review that. See how much it's worth. That'd be a good little segment.
I think I looked it up. It was worth like $9.
I think it was,
but if they give me $9, I'd let them turn it into a watch.
I think it was worth like $60. Shouldn't it be worth $60?
Oh, well, then you might know more. So Angie, don't get mad. But I didn't know. I couldn't you know, I need reading glasses. I was trying to look at that thing, and when Angie gave it to us, she said there was some percentage value of it. So yeah, it should be worth a good bit more, because I think when she gave it to us, what, bitcoins were a couple $100?
It was Christmas 2013.
Yeah, probably somewhere in that area. And what, they're above like 9,000 today.
All right, so but we're going to start today's show exactly where we left yesterday's show. There was a great little discussion that was being had about 401ks and setting them up, and some guy called in and asked about, well, I got this match. Should I do more than the match, or should I get the match and put more money somewhere else? Or, he, you know, just trying to find a balance and kind of feel Gregory out. But the question came across from the Facebook Live comments that Rhonda has one of the bigger matches we've ever heard of on this show. I think we've heard of this before, but a 12% match from her employer. That's pretty rare territory. So the question
that is like killer.
So the question that came through the Facebook Live comments is 12% match. What's your thoughts on that? It's like, well, fill it up.
Then, yeah.
Then the response was, we're matching that. We're filling that up plus more into the IRA. All right, so let's just pick it up right up from there. 12% match. Is there a downside to scoring a 12% match on your 401k?
Yeah, if you're not doing anything outside of the 401k. Too many people pile up too much money that's going to be taxed as ordinary income on distributions during retirement. I had a discussion yesterday and a discussion today about that. Gentleman came in. We looked at his 401k, and he's somewhere around $800,000 in the 401k. Not much money outside of it, and he's got a ways to work. But what the discussion shifted to is how much excess he was putting in. So we started looking at those numbers. Now, of course, he's got a deferred comp and a 401k, and he's matched. I'm sorry,
deferred comp? Is that when you get the lump sum or something at the end?
Yeah, it's not 401k, but it's deferred comp, meaning once you retire, that money is going to distribute out to you.
Okay.
And he has to make elections on each deposit when it's going to distribute. So it's kind of like you retire, this money's being pushed out, 401k. Nobody's forcing you to take it until 70 and a half. That's called required minimum distribution. So he gets matched. Let's just give a number, for example. He puts in 5,000. He's matched on the 5,000. But in one of his accounts, he's putting a good, great deal more. The deferred comp, he's like putting in 30,000, but he's only matched on 5,000 of it. So what we looked at, and as my memory recalls, he's putting in, say, 15, let me think, the 25, 30, 5, okay, he's putting 10,000 in the 401k. He's 100% matched up to the 5,000. So he's putting in 5,000 excess. And in the deferred comp, he's putting in 25,000 excess. So we looked at, what if we took that excess, keep doing the match because that's free money. It's like doubling it when you contribute it. But being all of his money's pre-tax money, we thought about, what if we take those excess above the matching and put it to work after tax, where it grows tax deferred, and because of Section 7702, we could take it out tax free. And, you know, he said, here's what he said. He said, that's why I come to you. Because it was a great concern of his, like, geez, I'm putting all this money away, and I'm going to be fully taxed on all the distributions. How can we go about shifting that? And I told him, give me a few days, and I'll probably have the reports for him tomorrow on how to do that, all laid out mathematically, so we know it all works. And then I had one today, because we had this discussion with this lady a couple weeks ago, so she came in for a follow-up, and I kind of presented it to her, and it turns out she has more money to put in it. But that's where we were looking at, how can she get more money into the tax-free part of it versus the pre-tax that grow. You know, it's like, I don't want to pay tax on the seed. I want to pay tax on the harvest. You heard that? We'd rather pay tax on the seed and not pay tax on the harvest. So that's what we, for him, that's what we're shifting. For her today, that's what we're shifting to as well. And then I think, you know, in like 2 weeks, we're going to get that plan started for her.
Clean up the 7702. You just glossed over that.
Yeah, it's part of the IRS code that explains how we can take untaxed benefits and wash out loans.
I see.
And you need a lot more visuals to it as well. But, and it doesn't work for everybody. Like the lady today was kind of one of the smaller plans that I do that on. Typically, it's higher net worth, higher earning people, because they have to have It's just like the gentleman, you know, does the, we know, what's the number? 61, 62% of the people have less than 100,000 saved. Section 7702 doesn't work for them.
Right.
They're not making enough money. They don't have excess money. Where this lady, in addition to what she's doing, she has an extra $18,000 a year to put to work in it. The gentleman, if you understood the math, that's $30,000 a year he has to take and put to work with 7702 section. It's part of the IRS code that we can utilize, but we have to check out the numbers and make sure it works. Sometimes we can take and do distributions from IRAs and shift to that plan, and it basically makes you feel good about paying the tax because it's creating so much tax-free money later. So it's kind of, our preference would be not pay tax on the seed if we have to, and then we grow it tax deferred and take it out tax free. Now, ultimate is do you have write-offs that would wash that and make that pre-tax money that grows tax deferred and comes out tax free at the end of the day?
That's a lot to think about there.
Yeah, and I can't give you all that on the radio, and probably sometimes that could take 2-3 meetings to work through the math of that. But this is not a gray area. This is not a tax workaround. It's not something they're going to deem that you were doing tax avoidance 20 years from now. It's not self-dealing. It's clearly in the IRS code, but most do not understand it or know how to structure it.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Ladies, find out how to retire well with Gregory Ricks Live, a special experience pairing wine, wisdom, and food. Retirement planning isn't just about dollars and cents. It's about having options. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Reserve your seat for Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, May 8th, 6:30 p.m., Bruce Chris in Metairie. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Asaf of the Jefferson Performing Arts Society announcing the final production of our 40th season. Alice in Wonderland, the ballet, plays May 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And for you teachers, don't forget the Arts Adventure Series production of Alice in Wonderland playing Thursday morning, May the 17th at 9:45 a.m. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, oh, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason, because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Fixed annuities. Here's ultimately the negative. They have surrender provisions, meaning you have to put the money there for a period of time to work. Why is that? Because they're fixed annuities. They mean that it's principal protected. It's backed up by the insurance company. How's the insurance company providing that insurance? Because they have to put the money in reserves dollar for dollar, and they have to use safe
places like treasuries, very high credit worthy bonds, and they have to manage that. So all they're getting to use is the interest off of managing that. So that gives you triple layer of security and knowing that this is a safe tool.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. This is Winning at Life, Financial Talk Radio, live. That's right, live. I know some of you, you've got that question. It's right there. It's like when I turn 62, and if I want to turn on Social Security, when would I actually receive payments? So I could answer that for you. Or you're single. Let's create a what's that movie where the dudes were on the planet and you'd see them in real life at time and then they look like a cartoon? What are those called?
I don't know.
Oh, you've seen it. They're on some other planet and they're killing them and stuff. Yeah, the guy that did Terminator, remember him?
Schwarzenegger?
No, the director.
Was that James Cameron?
Yeah. And he did this other movie that sold a lot, but it kind of had the cartoon aspect.
Avatar.
Yes, let's create an...
What? Oh, all right.
Yeah,
all
I was looking. Right. I lost that word. Sometimes my computer's a little slow in the evening. It's been busy all day, that one in my head. Okay, let's create an avatar. Okay, we've got a... Damn, where was I going with this?
Turn on Social Security.
Okay, yes. So let's create an avatar. You're single, divorcee, in fact.
Okay.
And you're thinking about what you're going to do at that point in time on turning on. You could turn it on at 62. Then you would have a kind of the old English or the English common law on when do you start that. And then it's different when you're FRA, and let's say FRA is 67. And then if you're single and you've got $3,000 a month coming in from Social Security, you've got some tax-free income coming in because Section 7702, you've got a big old 401k, but you're really not needing it except to fill in a gap until Social Security turns on because you want to retire at 65. So that's kind of our avatar. And then, like, why would you wait to age 70?
Because I want the biggest check.
Yeah, but you are the biggest check. So you've got Social Security, you've got a pension, and you've got tax-free income coming out. And this was the case I was working on today. So by the way, 504-260-0995. But let me get to it. The pension's $1,500 a month. Social Security is going to be $3,000 a month. Her tax-free income's going to be $2,100. Not quite that. It's $21,000 a year. So it's probably what neighborhood of $1,800 a month. 15, 16. Yeah, close. Ballpark. So overall, that puts her at darn, 60K a year in income. And here's the big effect. Social Security is not going to be taxed under that scenario I just gave you. Of 18K on pension, 21,000 on tax-free, and Social Security, 36,000 a year. and her Social Security is not going to be taxed. And she's going to have a million plus in her 401k, 403b, 40bs, and all that. She's going to have a bunch of money. Her problem comes when she's 70 and a half. RMDs will cause her Social Security to be taxed. And she was saying, why would I wait? I said, you wouldn't. We've got plenty of time to discuss it. She's like in her mid-50s, but we've got plenty of time. But she said, why would I? Because some people say, oh, you should wait 70. I said, why? You're right where you need to be. So just wanted to share that with you on the power of tax-free income.
All right. To the phones we go. Jay, New Orleans. You're going to be first up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Jay?
Hello?
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Hi. Are you ready for my question?
Absolutely.
Wait a second. Okay.
James was a little behind.
I'm ready now.
He's ready.
Okay. I'm thinking at the age of, I'm 60 now and living off my savings. I retired at 56 and just been traveling the world. And at 62, I'm thinking I would like to take my Social Security. I don't need it. And invest it for 10 years instead of waiting for the set till I've turned 70. I have about $450,000 in a 401k and some other money here and there. So what would it make sense to take that money? I don't need it, and invest it. I think I'm worried more that tax changes will come, if Social Security changes will come that might negatively affect me.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to predict what's going to happen. I would say tax bracket-wise, we're probably in the best place we're ever going to be. It's okay. Not a guarantee, but that's my feeling, is taxes are probably going to be higher. You know, under the last tax law change, which happened not too long ago, for the corporate tax, that's permanent. But these tax reductions for individuals is not permanent. So that kind of 3% reduction across the board and the standard deduction being at $12,000 per person, meaning the husband and wife mm-hmm. or heads of household, is not permanent. So with that said, I would want to take advantage of tax opportunities. Now, are you single or is there another person attached to you in the household?
No other person attached, no children.
Okay. Are you still working?
No.
Okay.
I got rid of that at 56.
Okay. Nice. And what age are you now?
I'm 60.
60. So you're thinking about turning on Social Security at age 62 then?
Mm-hmm.
And just saving it. And investing it. How do you plan to invest it?
I don't know yet.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there some place that you can go and get a guaranteed 8% return?
I would think, well, nothing is guaranteed. So, no, not that I know of yet, but I could. So, let's look at that.
Well, where, you can't. The answer is you can't.
That's a guarantee, Yeah,
there's not a guaranteed 8% return. And besides that, if you were some advisor offering an 8%, oh, I can get you an 8% return, I would run. So even hypothetically, I would run. So here's what you're asking about, because if you defer, instead of taking Social Security, if you defer Social Security, your check is going to grow each year. You wait by a guaranteed 8%. So why would you turn it on to go risk it somewhere or take lower return when for each year you wait until age 70, it grows by 8%? You probably didn't know that.
That part I didn't know, but this is what I was thinking about that. And you don't know which news is real and which isn't, or what law is going to pass or not, but I keep hearing them saying about running out of money for Social Security. Then the current administration thinking that maybe they can just take it away or take part of it away or reduce it. Those are the kind of concerns I had, I guess.
Yeah, and here's one of them. I was taught a while back about this, is when you start thinking about who makes these decisions, and it's called Congress. And a lot of people draw Social Security. And those guys, once they get up there, you got to think, you can't think common sense or this is the right thing to do. You got to think up there that they got the greatest health insurance in the plan. They get paid this money. Everybody bows down to them. They're the most popular guy in the room wherever they go. And they want it to keep going. They want to be reelected. So if they made your Social Security go away, I think all of them get booted out. So you have to understand it from that aspect. And yes, there's a money problem, but we've had that money problem for a long time because it's called $21 trillion in debt. That's what we're servicing as a country, is $21 trillion in debt. Yeah, 30 years ago, it was way less. And we still spend more than we take in as a country. So that hadn't shut Social Security down in the past 30 years. So why would it in the next? Technically, how they bookkeep is they rob Peter to pay Paul. And they're going to increase the Social Security tax on both sides of the payroll. And that will fix it for 100 years. I don't think you need to worry about that. I think you need to take advantage. If you can defer it, you will get more. James, okay. I see your eyes glowing there.
Yeah, because, Jay, there will be changes coming, but they have to be politically palatable. So what they will do is they will raise the taxes on Social Security, probably just on the highest income earners, raise the cap because there's not enough people to vote them out of office for doing that. Or what they'll do is they'll slow walk your cost of living increases so the inflation passes it and you're really getting a net spending cut. But on paper, it doesn't look like a cut. That number's still going up. So I wouldn't quite write it off just yet. But I like your attitude when you said, no, I was done with that when I was 56.
Take the guaranteed 8%. Thanks for the call, Jay.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Questions. Do you have a pulse? Do you own anything? If you said yes to both, you probably need a will. You may even need a trust. We all know a lawyer. Do you know someone who specializes in estate planning? Do you really trust the husband of your sister's friend from college? Or would you feel better putting your family in the hands of the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority? I'm Wes Blanchard. What's your plan? Offices in Metairie and at wjblanchardlaw.com.
If you like money, you will love the Winning at Life app. If you want to call the show or text Winning at Life right now, get the app. If you need to contact Gregory's office or any of the Total Wealth Authority, it's on the app. If you would like to stream the show live or on podcast, that's on the app too. It's free. Just a one-time login is all it takes to join the Winning at Life Nation. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
So what we try to do is help you find out where are you on that path and where is it taking you and what adjustments do you need to make. And we're always continuing to look down that financial road. The way I look at driving, I'm always looking ahead of where I have to go. I have part of my eye on that bumper in front of me out there a little bit, but I'm kind of looking a good ways down the road. So you're kind of keeping on your money now and looking well down the road and where it's going. And driving, that keeps you out of a lot of trouble. With your money, it does the same thing. It keeps you out of financial trouble and actually works towards keeping you in good shape.
Call Gregory Ricks and Associates. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email James at GregoryRicks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Always on the fly. Just because you know you can, never gonna learn. There's no such place as Neverland. You don't understand. You'll never grow up. You're never gonna be a man. Peter Pan.
This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. We do this every evening at 7. And Saturdays, the weekly wrap. 10 to 1, 3 hours. If you can't get enough of this, you will not be able to get enough of that either. Fun, learning some financial wisdom. You know, one of the reasons when I started doing this, what, James and I got together to do this show, it was 8 years ago.
June 11, 2010.
Well, that's when the first show started, but you and I started talking about this sometime before.
It was before my birthday, because I was able to tell my mom on my birthday that we're starting a new show.
And you and I started having lunch and getting to know each other, build that rapport, and then actually have become great friends through that process. I think we had lunch at New Orleans Food and Spirits every Wednesday for over a year.
Almost two.
Yeah. So it just built a great rapport. So we love doing the show. We have fun with it. But one of the things is to give you information that you're probably not getting elsewhere. That it's kind of like a university. You can tune in and there's something every day you can take away from the show. Back then it was the 1 hour show at 9 a.m. on Saturday, which now has evolved into 8 hours of live radio. We're pretty proud of the work, and listeners share that they're happy with it and they learn something. I have people come into my day job every day and share that with me as well. And it makes me feel good to know that the hard work and the extra time we put in is valued by others. And so thank of all of you in advance of our 8th anniversary birthday coming up. Thank you for making this possible by listening to the show. Ladies, if you want to go to an event I'm speaking at, James is going to be there. We're giving him a few minutes on the stage as well. The Total Wealth Authority is going to be there. It's the Women Winning at Life combined with Gregory Ricks Live. And it's a women's only event. So ladies, bring a friend. Husbands, send your wives to that. They need to know this information. We're going to talk about the gaps between the husband and wife and the gaps women face when their best friend moves on. We're going to talk about how to maximize and correlate Social Security to your assets. We're going to talk about the new tax laws. We're going to talk about Section 7702, how to build tax-free income to your plan. I'm sure there's a few other things, but hey, besides Total Wealth Authority, Jude Heath, Dwayne Stein, Lisa Nugent Freeland, James Parker, Wes Blanchard. Wes Blanchard actually is going to spend a little bit more time with you than others. He's got 3 points he wants you to understand about estate planning that you don't want to get wrong. But we're going to have some fun. We're going to have wine tasting. You're going to show up there. They're going to give you a sparkling wine to start with. We're pairing it with food. Going to have a bold Cabernet to go with that entree. Mm-hmm. And that dessert is like sinful. Well, it's called sin cake.
I see what you did there.
And it's going to, it just came to me. Brilliance, huh? And it's going to be paired with a port. And we're going to do some tasting situations so you can see how food tastes before and after wine, or the wine tastes along with the food. Here's how you become a part of that. Bring a friend. Ladies, bring a friend. Call the office, 504-832-9200. Go to GregoryRicks.com or email us info. That's info at GregoryRicks.com. After hours, if you want to call that office number, 504-832-9200, I have an off-hours team that will take your information. And one of my daytime team members will call you back tomorrow and get a little information and make sure you have that reserved seat, because we are going to fill up, I promise you. And it's going to be a blast. Wine and wisdom and fun. Is there more?
Food.
Yeah. And yeah, I enjoy doing it. I'm going to give you wine tips. I'm going to give you some ideas about food and preparing food and some combinations, stuff I love. I love me some wine.
And one of those steaks that's so soft, you could probably cut it with a butter knife. You don't even need a steak knife.
Yeah.
You know, it just falls apart because, you know, they just let it age for a few hours out in the open. Love that stuff. All right. So thinking on behalf of the guy listening right now, and if he started at the beginning of the show, he heard you in one instance recommend to someone that was in the office that go ahead, turn on your Social Security at 62.
No, that was 67 for her.
Oh, that was 67 on the first one?
She was asking about turning it on at FRA. Why should she wait to 70? Because I said, with your number, there is no reason to wait. There's not a spouse or anything trying to leave it behind the bigger check. It's her with all of her numbers, and her numbers said 67 is her FRA. That's the time to turn on Social Security.
And it changes because she was dealing with tax-free income from a couple of sources.
She's got a pension. We're putting together a tax-free income stream to turn on at 65, and we're going to use her 401k to fill the gap for 2 years. Then she turns on Social Security, so she'll have how many income streams? Social Security, pension, and the tax-free income. And guess what? And based on that situation, is Social Security going to be taxed? No. Is the pension? Yes, is ordinary income. The 7702 is not going to be taxed. Wouldn't you love to have 2/3 of your income untaxed during retirement? That's why that was a recommendation. And the caller, Jay, was talking about wanting to invest. You don't need to invest. If you're thinking of turning it on at 62, each year you wait, it grows by 8%. It's not a hypothetical. It's a guarantee. That's what it does. Why would you turn it on to let somebody lose it for you? Now, I didn't tell her to wait to 70, but I just said each year she defers, it grows by 8%.
Okay. Numbers.
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment on Winning It Life. If you want to follow along, go to winningitlife.com or the Winning It Life app. You can look at the exact same charts and graphs I'm looking at, because I'm on the numbers page at winningitlife.com. That's literally what I'm looking at right now. So yesterday was a bit of a split decision, which is always painful in the boxing world, but not as bad in the financial world. This today, split as well, but on along different boundaries. The Dow Jones was up 0.25%.
After yesterday. Oh, and during the day, it was pretty ugly.
It was thinking about it. It was thinking ugly.
It was acting ugly.
Yeah, but it was it cleaned up before I got home. S&P was down. Oh, I'm sorry, was up 0.2%. Now that's not much, 4.8 points. But that valuation is now sitting at 2,639. The Nasdaq, however, ended up leaking just a little bit, down 0.05%. still hanging out above the big landmark, 7,003, with a little bit of change on it there. But all eyes have been on our dead instruments the last couple of days. Look who's all of a sudden the popular girl at prom.
You know, what was interesting, I want to go back to yesterday when we were seeing two-year treasuries at auction yesterday sell for 2.5%. And you have 10-year treasuries that closed at 3.02 today. So you talk about the narrowing, and you're not having 30-year treasuries for a lot sell a lot more than the 10. So yeah, it's and I don't see here sometimes where I wonder, you know, we've talked about this. Maybe they need to listen to my show. This 3% is this like a surprise to you, Jack? Oh, we're at 3%. I woke up and last thing I remember we were at 1.5. Dude, that was 2 years ago. Okay. Is this a surprise?
It's still low. It feels low, and you sound like a weirdo when you're like, man, look how high treasuries are. It's got to 3%. Well, yeah, historically speaking, though.
It's low. But this has been talked about. They're raising interest rates, and the Fed's got to undo their balance sheet that's selling treasuries. And, yeah, the U.S. government's broke. Don't be shocked. We've spent more than we take in for years. That's why we have $21 trillion in debt. They've got to sell treasuries. And if there's not buyers, then the yield has to go up to attract the money. I guess we'll finish the numbers when we come back.
Yeah, we'll clean up the numbers in the short sheet. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein.
I'm having some issues with my credit score. I'm a vet trying to get it up. So I'm going through the veteran system trying to work with that. But
well, listen, here's what I'll tell you. Whatever system you're working through, stop. Call me at my office, 504-207-7600. And I will tell you or teach you or show you how to fix your credit in about 15 minutes.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein. This Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. It's the ultimate getaway for me because it's hard to worry about business, radio, stress when I'm going 135 miles an hour in a straightaway, and then I have to slow down to about 60 in a few seconds to make that right-hand turn. Oh, the adrenaline. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Ladies, find out how to retire well with Gregory Ricks Live, a special experience pairing wine, wisdom, and food. Retirement planning isn't just about dollars and cents. It's about having options. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Reserve your seat for Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, May 8th, 6:30 p.m., Bruce Chris in Metairie. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Asaf of the Jefferson Performing Arts Society announcing the final production of our 40th season. Alice in Wonderland is a ballet in two acts retelling the classic Lewis Carroll story in the form of dance. It is set to unforgettable music by Peter Tchaikovsky. Alice in Wonderland, the ballet, plays May 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
One of the things you might want to consider doing is a financial stress test on your portfolio. Think about it. If 08 replayed itself again, do you know how it would affect your current portfolio? How much of a downturn would it be? Also, in good times, how much of the upside would you be able to gain? Would you really like to have an idea of where you're going in good times? What about the fees? Most folks don't realize how much they're paying in fees. You could be paying 2 to 3%, maybe even more.
or you could be paying just the right amount.
Do a financial stress test and find out where you're headed on your financial path.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. 504-260-0995. I'm in a hurry. I've got a lot to cover. I've got to cover the next hour of material in 11 minutes. Get this, 3.18. What is that? That's a 30-year treasury rate. September 11th, 1981, 14.49%. I'll say it again. September 11th, 1981, 14.49%. It's not coming. I got to do it again. 14.49%. What is that? That's a 30-year treasury rate. Imagine booking that. Stock market doesn't do that. Nothing does that.
So every year from 1982 to 2002, you got 14% on your principal. Guaranteed.
Through 12. Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is 12.
Yeah. You're shorting it. You'd sell it after 20 years?
I was getting the 20-year bond.
Okay. Well, this we're doing the 30-year, James. Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
14.5%.
There's a retirement plan right there. How much easier would it be to do retirement planning and be Gregory Ricks and with a 14% 30-year bond?
Yeah, it's killer. 1 year ago, 30-year treasury was at 2.93%. So the change from a year ago, it's up 8.53%. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
As well. But once again, we're going to the 10-year treasury at 3.02. Let's see, what was the yesterday the 30-year was at 3.15%. So it's up over yesterday in the yield. The long-term average of 30-year treasuries all time is 6.90% as well. Well, that, you know, that 1981 number really helped a lot out there. So just thought I'd share a little bit of statistics with you on that. So going that, it tells us that we're at on the 30-year fixed interest rate mortgage, we're at 4.77.
There's usually a couple day lag on that.
Yeah. But that, you know, Dwayne Stein, here's the math. Add 1.75 to the 10-year treasury. Crude oil at 6.833, $68.33 at Brent crude that you got bent over yesterday is still in the $74 range. Gold kind of in this still its constant range, $1,324.80. Silver still 1662. No change there. It's the big boy 10-year treasury causing all the turmoil.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you got a lot of headlines today. So when we go to the short sheet, the big loser over here is Snap. The fun thing about Snap is if you go look at the company description, remember when they did their IPO, I guess that was last year, and you have to give a little description of the company. They said they were what? They said they were a camera company, didn't they?
Who?
Snap.
Yeah, that's right. They did.
Right. It was like,
how's that working?
Y'all don't sell any cameras. Y'all don't sell one camera. Y'all manipulate images after they've been taken with somebody else's camera, and then you make it easily shareable, and I can put sunglasses on my face or give myself doggy ears. But, boy, it got killed today. It was down 7%. It's one of those where
it's had a good run. It's like up 30% for the year before today.
Well, I think Facebook, and therefore by proxy, Instagram and even WhatsApp, that's all one big conglomerate. You know, them getting kicked in the teeth a little bit, Snap's one of the beneficiaries of that, especially in the privacy realm, because that's That's their bit. That's what got them big at first. You text something and then it goes away. You send a picture, it goes away. If someone takes a screenshot, it sends you a notice. They just screenshotted your photo, pal. So that's if that's what the people want, if their main onus is privacy, well, then the company that offers that's going to win, and it looks like Microsoft going to lose in the meantime. Here's what got interesting, though. Ford Motor Company is up 1.37%. And, look, they've been down and out. Seeing that stock at $11, it's like, man, what's that dividend got to be like now?
6%.
That's pretty good. That's not a
We have it.
It's not a 14% treasury in 1981, but hey, that's pretty good these days. However, check out this headline. Tell me if this slaps you upside the head. Ford to stop selling every car in North America, but the Mustang and the Focus Active. Did you catch all that?
They're just going to sell trucks.
Yeah. SUVs. See, it's a misleading headline. It's, for me, I was like, they're not going to sell the F-150 anymore? They're not going to sell the Expedition or the Explorer? Well, we know better than that. So it's, yeah, they're cutting out all the little guys. They're going to keep the Mustang, and they're going to make something new, whatever this Focus Active is. They say it's not the same thing as a Focus. But they're getting rid of the Taurus. They're getting rid of the Fusion. They're getting rid of the Fiesta. I didn't know what a C-Max is, but apparently they're getting rid of that too. But they're saying, yeah, we're going to be all about SUVs, pickups, crossovers, which is the new fancy.
Crossover is the car now.
They finally found a way to make station wagons palatable to the general public. That's all
isn't
it is.
That something? Like, you would never buy a station. I wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I would. I don't care. Oh, we owned one. We had the Mazda before we got
you need
the town
a bus, actually, for the kids and all the friends.
Yeah, we do.
So you do that. I just wouldn't buy a station wagon. But I could buy into a crossover. You're not losing your manhood with that, huh?
I used to have fun with that because when we had the crossover Mazda, I would call it a station wagon, and Miss Parker would always correct me. It's a crossover. Oh, it's a station wagon. You know damn well what it is. Just because it doesn't have faux wood paneling on the side.
It could have been a Woody?
I wish. Oh, I would have paid extra for the Woody just to have fun with the wife.
Well, I like me some Ford trucks, you know. I have a Ford truck.
Heck yeah. Those are awesome trucks. Yeah. Dude, their SUVs are sweet as well. But something interesting said by Ford, they did a little research, and of course they keep a pretty close eye on the automobile retail market, and they expect by 2020 half of the United States retail market for cars will be SUVs and trucks. I'm sorry. That's just SUVs. SUVs will be half of the market in 2020.
I'm surprised it's not there yet.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought that number was pretty shocking. I you know, there's so many trucks, and I guess we're in the South, and we're so over inundated with trucks that we don't go up to Yankee Stand very much and see people tootling around in their little cars, or go out to California and see them driving their golf carts. So that sounded pretty odd to me, but you're like, yeah, I'm surprised not that already. Well, okay. But that's where Ford makes all their money anyway. So the question becomes, what are they going to do about CAFE standards?
That they'll sell enough Mustangs with the four-cylinder in it to help balance that. If you're getting the GT500, you'll pay the gas guzzler tax on that, so that separates that out. The okay. F-150s are getting, you know, with the aluminum and all, they and that at Boost engine with the turbo V6, it gets a lot of horsepower and torque without burning extra fuel. Let's see, what else?
They're going to have to hybridize all these things.
Oh, and then, of course, yeah, when it gets tougher, yeah, they'll have the hybrid of the Mustang. They'll have the hybrid of whatever the small car is out there. But as long as they keep building trucks, that's where their money's made anyhow, trucks and SUVs. So they obviously have the CAFE standards parked there. Everybody's catching up. Look, Ford knows what they're doing. They've been around forever. Remember, they didn't need a bailout during the Great Recession.
If it wasn't for CAFE standards, they would probably drop all cars, period, keep a big gas guzzling Mustang, because
the Mustang, the performance part of it. Right. Actually, the Mustang's going to be replace the Fusion and be on the circuit next year.
I don't know what you're saying with the Fusion.
Well, the car they're going to quit making, the Fusion or mm-hmm. whatever, is their NASCAR car. Next year, it's going to be the Mustang. So they're expected to sell a lot of Mustangs next year anyhow. It's going to be everywhere. Hey, want to share something? One of our concerns past couple of days is Facebook reported after hours, and in its first earnings report after touching off widespread data privacy concerns, they posted revenue and profit that highlighted the company's central place in digital economy. And this is really an important. So goes the market, so goes Facebook right now. And yeah, they beat. They reported quarterly earning share profit of $1.69, up from $1.04 a year earlier, while revenue rose nearly 50% to $11.97 billion. Remember, we covered them when they went public and couldn't make a dime.
Mm-hmm.
They sure as heck figured out how to make money. Net income rose 63% to nearly $5 billion, compared with $3.06 billion. They crushed it. They're up 7% after market.
Well, that's because when they came out with their IPO, we weren't broadcasting the show on Facebook every day like we're doing right now.
Yeah, we're helping them out.
It's a TV network on top of everything else. You're home away from the show. WinningItLife.com and the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.